the Lord has helped us. So far, the Lord has helped us. Let's begin reading in verse 2. It says, it was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you're returning to the Lord with all your hearts, rid yourselves of your foreign gods and the Ashtaroths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. We read in the next couple of verses that Samuel had all the people meet him at a place called Mizpah for a big prayer meeting. So let's read about that prayer meeting and what happened. Jump down to verse 7, 1 Samuel 7 and verse 7. It says, when the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. Aren't you so glad that God is still in the prayer answering business? Look at verse 10. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Look at verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone, and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, so far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to her, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. So far, the Lord has helped us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the people that you love. Thank you for your presence here and your powerful word. Father, I pray that you'd come and breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that change us from glory to glory. If your heart agrees, just say amen with me. Today is a special day. Today is Harvest Time's 27th anniversary. And today also is the 7th anniversary exactly of our first worship service in this building. Amen. I will never forget December 5th, 2003. It is a day that will live in infamy. We had pushed very, very hard to finish this building in time for our big 20th anniversary celebration. We had a huge weekend planned. The kickoff was a big worship concert with Alvin Slaughter. We had people coming from all over the country, people that had been part of our church over the years. People were coming from New Hampshire, from California, from Florida, from the Midwest. Pastor Tate, our founding pastor, was coming, and many of the other staff pastors that served us over the years. And those last few days leading up to December 5th, we were so far behind getting this building done, it seemed like it was humanly impossible. There was a problem with a boiler. We couldn't get it started, and so it was freezing cold in here. We had men taping the sheetrock walls, and the mud wouldn't dry on the walls because there was no heat. We had people laying tile in their winter coats. We had a crew that came to lay the carpets in both levels of the building, and because there was no heat, the carpet was frozen solid, and it was so stiff they couldn't unroll it. So after 2 days of standing around, they felt sorry for us and picked up spackle knives and brooms and did whatever they could to help us out. finally, on December 3rd, 2 days before the big 20th anniversary celebration, Mike Seppi figured out how to hotwire our boiler, and he got the boiler running. The only problem was that it was on all the way, and we couldn't control it. So it went from being freezing in here to being 90 degrees in here. And we had, for the next 36 hours, we had guys in their shorts and their t-shirts working around the clock to finish the building. On Friday afternoon of December 5th, 2003, there were guys painting walls, laying carpet, laying tile, installing trim. Our friend Gary Kellner arrived in the afternoon and stood in this room and looked around, and he said, "There is no way that Glenn is having a service here tonight." And then the icing on the cake was that on that day, on the morning of Friday, December 5th, 2003, we had the blizzard of the century. We had an enormous snowstorm, more snow than we've ever had in early December. I ran home in the afternoon to change my clothes and come back for the evening service. There were accidents all over the road. And when I changed, I went to leave my house, and there was a school bus sideways across my street. So I was stuck in my neighborhood. Heather Fox, who's in college now, was in middle school then. She was on that bus, and she and her friends trudged up the hill to our house to take refuge from the snow. And it was one of those moments where I said, "You know, Lord, I'm trying to do your work. Would you just work with me a little bit here?" But God helped us, and we did have a service in this building that night. Actually, this is a photo from that first night 7 years ago, and all 50 of us that made it had a great time in the presence of the Lord. God was with us that night, and he's been with us all 7 years that we've been in this building, and he's still with us. So far, the Lord has helped us. And so on our seventh anniversary in this building, I want to take a few minutes this morning, and I simply want to give glory to God for the great things that he has done for us so far. And at the same time, I believe that the Holy Spirit has a word of encouragement for someone in this place today. So far, the Lord has helped us. I love this whole passage in 1 Samuel 7. I find a lot of similarities here between Israel's experience and our own. This is the story of a decisive victory for Israel that came after 20 years of waiting. If we go back a few chapters in 1 Samuel, in 4 verse 1, we find out that Israel lost the Ark of the Covenant at a place called Ebenezer. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says that the Philistines seized the Ark of the Covenant at a place called Ebenezer, and they took it to their own territory, and for the next 20 years, victory eluded the Israelites. Until they gathered at this prayer meeting at Mizpah in 1 Samuel 7, and there was a turning point. God gave them a great victory, and a new place was given the name Ebenezer. So far, the Lord has helped us. December 5th, 2003 was a defining moment of victory for our church after 20 years. It was a decisive turning point. For two decades, the dream of a permanent home for our church eluded us, but God made that dream become a reality that night. So far, the Lord has helped us. Actually, you know, those words in 1 Samuel 7:12 have a dual meaning in Hebrew. One of the meaning of those words, "so far God has helped us," one meaning of those words is that God has helped us up to this moment. God, from the very beginning, has helped us, and he's been helping us up to this point in time. When Samuel erected that stone monument and he declared Ebenezer, this is what he meant. So far, God has helped us. He's been with us from the very beginning, and all along, he's been helping us unto this day. He called Abraham, our father, from Ur of the Chaldeans. He called him from worshiping idols to seek the living God. He called him to a new land to look for a city whose builder and maker is God. He called him and promised him that every place the sole of his foot would touch, he would give him. He promised Abraham that he would make of him a great family that would be consecrated to the Lord. Abraham waited on the promise of God for 25 years. Against all hope, in hope he believed. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, being 90 years old. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, being fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. At 100 years old, Abraham gave birth to Isaac. So far, the Lord has helped us. After the death of Abraham, a famine came to the land, but God told Isaac, "Stay here, Isaac, and trust me." In faith, Isaac sowed seed in a land of famine, and the parched ground produced a 100-fold harvest because God was with him. So far, the Lord has helped us. Isaac gave birth to two sons, Esau and Jacob. God rejected the older son, but he chose the younger. But Jacob couldn't wait, so he took matters into his own hands. Beloved, look at me. Don't take matters into your own hands. Every time you try to help the Holy Spirit, you only make a mess. He deceived his father. He stole the birthright, and then he fled for his life, leaving behind his entire inheritance. He spent 20 years being mistreated in the house of his uncle Laban until God rescued him at a brook called Jabbok. Jacob wrestled with God until he experienced a transformation in his inner man, and he who had been born a deceiver became Israel, a prince with God. He was restored to his brother and his inheritance. So far, the Lord has helped us. Jacob had 12 sons. The favor of God was on Joseph, and the 10 older brothers hated him for it. They threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery, from the pit to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house to the prison, from the prison to Pharaoh's palace. God was with him. And what the enemy meant for evil, God used for good, and Joseph saved Jacob's entire family during 7 years of famine. So far, the Lord has helped us. The children of Israel spent 400 years in Egypt. From 75 people, they grew into a mighty multitude, but they fell out of favor with the Egyptians. The more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more they increased in number and strength. Miraculously, God spared the life of a Jewish slave baby named Moses. Miraculously, Moses became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Miraculously, his own birth mother became his wet nurse. Miraculously, Moses' heart was moved with the plight of his people. He chose suffering with the people of God over all the riches of Egypt. He killed an Egyptian and fled into the wilderness for 40 years. Miraculously, God appeared to Moses in a burning bush and sent him back to Pharaoh to demand the release of the Jewish slaves. Miraculously, 10 plagues rained down on the people of Egypt. Miraculously, the firstborn of every house in Egypt was slain, but the firstborn of every house in Israel was saved by the blood of the Lamb. So far, the Lord has helped us. Moses led 2 million Israelites out of Egypt with all the gold of Egypt. When the Egyptian army pursued them, God stood between the Israelites and the Egyptians. On the Egyptian side, it was black as night, and on the side of the Israelites, it was light as day. So far, God has helped us. When they were trapped on the banks of the Red Sea, God sent a mighty wind and split the sea in two. The Israelites walked across on dry ground with walls of water on either side of them. When the Egyptian army pursued them into the midst of the sea, the wheels came off of their chariots and the walls of water came crashing down upon them. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. So far, the Lord has helped us. For 40 years, God provided bread on the dew. He poured water from a rock. He rained quail from heaven. He covered them with a cloud by day to guide and shade them, and a pillar of fire at night to comfort and warm them. He protected them from sickness. Their shoes and their clothes never wore out. He fought against their enemies. So far, the Lord has helped us. God raised up a new leader, Joshua. He was filled with the spirit of wisdom and power for Moses had laid his hands on him. God brought them to the Jordan River at flood stage. The river split in two before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the people walked across on dry ground. So far, the Lord has helped us. At the sound of the trumpets, God blew on the walls of Jericho and they came tumbling down. So far, the Lord has helped us. God helped the Israelites claim the land flowing with milk and honey, the land promised to Abraham. He helped them slay giants and subdue all their enemies, the Amalekites, the Ammonites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, Edomites, Girgashites, Geshurites, Gibeonites, Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, Midianites, Perizzites, Rephaites, and the Socialites. Those are the ancient inhabitants of Greenwich. So far, the Lord has helped us. But in spite of all that God had done for Israel, they weren't faithful to him. They couldn't resist the pressure to be like their neighbors, to do what their neighbors were doing. They worshiped other gods and goddesses. So God allowed the Aramaeans to oppress them. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up Othniel to deliver them. So far, the Lord has helped us. Again, Israel was unfaithful to the Lord, so he allowed the Canaanites to oppress them. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up Deborah to deliver them. So far, the Lord has helped us. Again, Israel was unfaithful to the Lord, so he allowed the Midianites to oppress them. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up Gideon to deliver them. So far, the Lord has helped us. Again and again and again, Israel was unfaithful to the Lord. But again and again and again, the Lord was faithful to Israel. He raised up Ehud and Shamgar, Tola and Jair, Jephthah. He raised up Ibzan, Elon, Abdon and Samson. So far, the Lord has helped us. And finally, he raised up the prophet Samuel to usher in a new day for Israel at a place called Ebenezer. Through Samuel, a 400-year sin cycle was broken. Samuel would anoint David, Israel's greatest king. David's son Solomon would take Israel to the pinnacle of her greatness. So far, the Lord has helped us. It means that God has been with us all this time. From the very beginning, he's been with us up until this very moment. Through all the years, through all the struggles, through all the droughts, through all the famines, through all the battles, through all the enemies' onslaughts, in spite of what others have done to us, in spite of all our mistakes and failures, no matter how far we've wandered away from home, no matter how long we've stayed away, he's been with us, he's still with us, and he will stay with us. So far, the Lord has helped us. There's a second meaning to these words in Hebrew. It not only means that from the very beginning he's helped us up to this time, but a second meaning to these words, so far the Lord has helped us, means that he's brought us to this place. He's brought us to this land. He's brought us to where we are right now, physically, in our life situation. God has brought us here. Harvest time was started in December of 1983. With five people. They met in the Greenwich YMCA. Three of the five people were members of the Tate family, our pastors. For the first 6 months, they met in a room at Greenwich YMCA, and they came in to worship on Sundays right on the heels of the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. The guys who were trying to get off the bottle had gotten on cigarettes and they were all chain smokers. And so they would come in. You remember, Miss Connie, they would come in and they had to bring fans with them and blow all the smoke out of the room before they could come and worship. After 6 months, Harvest Time moved to the Western Greenwich Civic Center that would be our home for the next 20 years. Denise and I came here in 1996, and in 1997, we received the news that the town of Greenwich was planning to close the Civic Center due to budget cuts. At first, we were told that we might have to vacate in as little as 30 days. We had already been searching for a permanent home for our church, but then when we got that letter, we kicked our search into high gear. We looked at every commercial property in town. We looked at retail space. We looked at office buildings. We looked at an old bowling alley. We looked at old warehouses. We looked at a greenhouse and nursery operation. We kept running into the same obstacles everywhere we went. First of all, the purchase price. Secondly, every building we looked at, we couldn't find a room that could adequately be converted into a sanctuary. But the biggest obstacle we ran into everywhere was parking. And after months and months of searching, we finally decided that we had to buy a piece of land and build a building to suit our needs. We figured out that we needed a minimum of 10 acres. And as the Lord would have it, my wife happened to be working for the town planner of Greenwich at the time. And she pulled a list of property owners in Greenwich who owned parcels that were 10 acres or more. We wrote a cold call letter. Hello, we're Harvest Time Church. We're looking for property to build a new church building. And we listed our requirements. Must be a minimum of 10 acres. Must have a Greenwich address. Must be able to be zoned for a church. We had about 250 letters. On a Sunday morning in January of 1998, we piled them up on the communion table. And the whole congregation came around and we laid hands on the letters and we mailed them out. Listen, you need to lay hands on your mail before you send it. You need to lay hands on your resume before you send it out. And let the grace of God can attach itself to a handkerchief to bring healing to someone. How many of you know the grace of God can attach itself to your resume? We laid hands on 250 letters and put them in the mail, and we received only one response. It was from the owner of this property. So far, the Lord has helped us. In the late 1960s, a group of four businessmen went in together and bought this land. They were counting on cashing in on the expansion of the Westchester County Airport. What they underestimated was the resolve of the Greenwich Planning and Zoning Commission to not allow anything to happen on this property that would facilitate the expansion of the airport. So the property sat on the market for over 30 years. 22 other people tried to buy this land before we bought it. Marriott Corporation tried to buy it twice. Arnold Palmer tried to buy it to build a driving range, and every proposal, 22 that were brought before the town, that's almost one a year, brought before the town, and every one of them, the town of Greenwich, said no. They even said no to Arnold Palmer. Can you believe it? So far, the Lord has helped us. When our letter reached Mr. Wasserman, he was the only remaining partner. Three other partners had deceased, and Mr. Wasserman was ill himself, and the children of the other three deceased partners were pushing on him to sell the property already so that they could settle their family estates. The asking price on this land was $3 million. We were able to negotiate a purchase price of $1.5 million. So far, the Lord has helped us. Just after we got this property under contract, the news came out that Brunswick School had scooped up 100 acres on King Street to the south of us. That was the last large tract of land in Greenwich that could be developed, and it was thought that four or five different buyers would buy up that 100 acres. And when the news came out that Brunswick School had scooped all 100 plus acres up in one shot, it sent the market values of property in this neighborhood through the roof. All of a sudden, we weren't this out-of-the-way stretch of King Street in Greenwich. All of a sudden, we were where everybody wanted to be. And a year after we closed on this land, we were offered $6 million for this property. I almost took the money and ran. So far, the Lord has helped us. In 1998, the Lord helped us to assemble the team of professionals that we needed to design this campus and phase one and phase two. We designed phase two from the very beginning. But most notably, the Lord gave us favor with a world-renowned architect from Manhattan named Richard Hayden. Richard has built some of the largest skyscrapers in New York and all around the world. He was in charge of the refurbishment of the Statue of Liberty in 1976. He's currently building the world's largest indoor space in Moscow, Russia. Richard has worked with us for 12 years. He has attended every meeting and every town hearing about phase one and phase two, and he has never charged us anything for his time. We're working on the construction documents for phase two right now. And a couple of weeks ago, the blueprints, I had to communicate with Richard and I had to tell him, Richard, we don't have the funds to move forward with construction right now and we don't really know when we will. And Richard asked me to come to his office and we sat down together and he began to well up with tears and he said, Glenn, we want to do everything we can to help you. He said, we're lowering our fee for the blueprints on phase two. He said, we've backed out all of the profit for the firm, so we're only charging you our cost. And he said, to help you, we're going to defer all of our billing on the blueprints until you're ready to begin construction. So far, the Lord has helped us. In 1999, we received zoning approval to build a church on this land, the first project that the town approved in over 30 years. God helped us to raise $1.5 million, and we closed on this land in October of 1999. So far, the Lord has helped us. Between 1999 and 2003, God helped us raise $2.4 million to build this building. God sent us a project manager from our denomination who served us for free for 2 years. When Bob had to leave because of his illness, the Lord sent us Mike Seppi to help us finish the building. The people of this church came together in unity. They came together with prayer and with fasting and with sacrificial giving. We had three couples who brought us everything that they had saved up to that point for a down payment on a house, and they offered it to the Lord to build this building. We had people who put off big purchases, new cars and new homes, to give to this building. We had people who put off plans for retirement in order to stay here and give towards the building. We had people who gave us inheritance money. People gave us stocks. They gave us money from the sale of property. We had people who served tirelessly. Can't name everyone, and that's not really fair, but I would be remiss if I didn't give honor to Joe Scopoletti and Glenn Fox and Walt Jamroga, three men who gave us their time for about 3 years, almost full time, and never charged us anything for all the work they did for us. So far, the Lord has helped us. God did so many miracles, I don't have time to recount all of them for you. The architect told us that it would cost us $4.2 million to build this building. Plus, he told us to leave a 10% contingency. We built this building for $3.2 million. Again and again and again, God gave us favor with contractors, with suppliers. The Lord sent us an old Italian man who has been an excavator in Greenwich for more than 40 years, Mr. Ciccio. He helped us outdoors to save tens of thousands of dollars. There's a water problem in this part of Greenwich. There's a river that actually runs right under the center of this building. And so there's a lot of work. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars that you don't see buried beneath the lawn here. And Mr. Ciccio helped us save so much money, and he gave us all of his time for free. I'll never forget the day that he came to us in the construction office, and he said, Pastor, we've got a huge problem. I've been working the ground here for 40 years. He said, we've hit granite. We're going to have to blast. We're going to have to hammer. And that meant tens of thousands of dollars of extra cost. After doing this project, I understand, I don't know whether you've ever heard the hammers around here banging the rock out, but every bang of the hammer is a cha-ching. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. And we didn't know what to do, so we got the intercessors together. We came and we stood on this property and we said, God, you've got to help us. See, we just did the pay-as-you-go plan. We were out of money so many times. And every time we got down on our faces and we cried and God did something, some miracle. And we stood on this property and we prayed. We said, God, we need your help again. And the next morning, Mr. Cecio started up his bulldozer and he ran through that rock like it was shale. It came right up out underneath, hit the blade of his bulldozer. He came and he said, I've never seen anything like it. And God not only saved us the cost of banging out that rock, but all that material that he excavated, we were able to use for the base for our parking lot. And we didn't have to buy any material at all to go underneath the parking lot. So far, the Lord has helped us. On our 20th anniversary, on December 5th, 2003, we held our first service in this building in a snowstorm. And it didn't matter to us what the weather was doing outside, because God had helped us so far. He was with us. And he's still been with us over these last 7 years. He's continued to help us. In 2004, we completed all the outdoor work on the campus, the parking lots and the landscaping. In 2005, we launched the Spanish congregation and we opened the Learning Garden. In 2006, we launched all the rungs of our adult discipleship ladder. In 2007, we added the air dome to the campus. In 2008, we acquired the parsonage at 1362 King Street. In 2009, we received zoning approval to build phase two, the largest auditorium in Greenwich, Connecticut. At the time that we built this building, we were required to buy more acreage before we could ever build phase two. But after we moved into this building, the zoning regulations in the town of Greenwich changed in our favor so that we could double the size of the building on this land without buying any more ground. So far, the Lord has helped us. In 2010, we opened the Stanford Satellite Campus, and in 2011, by the grace of God, we're going to break ground on the parking lot expansion for phase two. So far, the Lord has helped us. In the last 7 years, we've completed three capital campaigns and we've started our fourth. In the last 7 years, we've given over $2 million more to the building fund. In the last 7 years, we've given over $2.5 million to missions. Somebody ought to praise God for that. In the last 7 years, our ministry staff has grown from 4 employees to 13 employees. Our midweek attendance has grown from 150 to over 400. In the last 7 years, we've launched Alpha, Cleansing Stream, Christian Life Workshops, Equip, Collision, Gateway, and Pathways. In the last 7 years, our weekend worship attendance has grown from 300 people to over 1,200 people. We've grown from 2 weekend worship services to 7 weekend worship services in 2 languages and 2 locations. So far, the Lord has helped us. He's brought us to this place. His hand has led us here. His miracles have landed us here. He's been with us up to this point. He's still with us and he will be with us. I want to ask you to do something with me. Would you stand on your feet? And I want to just give glory to God for one moment for the great things that he's done for us. Come on, would you put your hands together and just give glory to him? You may be seated for just one moment more. There's one more thing that the words of 1 Samuel 7:12 mean. So far, the Lord has helped us. It means he's been with us from the very beginning and up to this time. It means he's brought us to this place. But there's one more thing that these words mean. These words mean today is a brand new day. It means he's brought us to this watershed moment. He's brought us to this moment where there's a turning of the tide, and after today, everything's going to be different. So far, the Lord has helped us means that after today, we're moving on to a new place. Israel lost the Ark of the Covenant in a decisive battle at a place called Ebenezer. But now, after being under the enemy's thumb for 20 years, now another battle, and they have won, and a new place is called Ebenezer. And what that means, what Samuel is saying is, hey guys, we're moving on from here. We're done with being defeated. We're done with messing up. We're done with being messed with by the enemy. So far, the Lord has helped us means after today, we're going higher. It means after today, the failures of my past are wiped out. It means after today, the things that have held me down can't hold me down anymore. After today, the things that have held me back can't hold me back anymore. So far, the Lord has helped me. I'm moving on from here, on to victory in Him. Look at the words of 1 Samuel 7. He set up a monument. He called it Ebenezer. So far, the Lord has helped us. Look what it says in verses 13 and 14. So the Philistines were subdued. They didn't invade Israel again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns that they had captured from Israel were restored to her, and Israel delivered their neighbors from the power of the Philistines. There's preaching in that verse. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Beloved, everybody look at me. Today is the 7th anniversary in our building. 7 is the number of completion. It means that a cycle has been completed. And 8 is the number of a new day. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen, this is for you. So far, the Lord has helped us. He's brought us to this place. So far, the Lord has helped us. He's been with us all this time. He's still with us, and He's going to stay with us. So far, the Lord has helped us. Today is a brand new day. We're moving on to a new place. The chapter is closed on phase 1. The chapter is now open on phase 2. And the same God who helped us buy this land will help us finish developing this land. The same God who helped us build phase 1 will help us build phase 2. By the grace of God, we've come this far. And by His grace, we're going all the way. And I feel in my spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to bring a personal word of encouragement to someone here in this place today. So far, the Lord has helped you. Be encouraged. Let your faith be lifted up. So far, the Lord has helped you. He's brought you to this place. He's brought you this far in your life. So far, the Lord has helped you. It hasn't been easy. There's been struggles. There's been troubles. Maybe there's been unexpected detours or delays. Maybe there's been failures, sorrows, losses. Maybe financial setbacks, divorce, or sickness. But the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you today. You're still here. You're still standing. There's still breath in your lungs to give Him praise. There's still strength in your body to lift your hand and to glorify Him. So far, the Lord has helped you. He's been with you from the very beginning, right up to this moment. While you were still in your mother's womb, He saw your unformed body. He wrote all of your days in His book before the first one of them came to be. And whether you knew Him or not as a child or as a teenager or as a young adult, whether you knew Him or not, He was with you all the time. His eye was always watching over you. You were always in His hand. So far, the Lord has helped you. He's been with you every moment, and he's with you now, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. So far, the Lord has helped you. Today is a brand new day. Old things are passed away. I declare it over you on our 7th anniversary. I declare it over you. I prophetically speak it over you in the name of Jesus. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Failures are past. They're gone. Old things are passed away. And a new day has begun. Ebenezer, we've moved on to a new place. So far, the Lord has helped us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So far, the Lord has helped us. I will never leave you or forsake you. So far, the Lord has helped us. I have loved you with an everlasting love. So far, the Lord has helped us. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. So far, the Lord has helped us, for the path of the righteous is like the first light of dawn that keeps shining brighter and brighter until the full light of day. So far, the Lord has helped us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those of us who love him. So far, the Lord has helped us, and we know this. We know that all things work together for good for those of us that love God and are called according to his purposes. So far, the Lord has helped us, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion. Until the day of Jesus Christ. So far, the Lord has helped us. I want you to stand on your feet, and I want you to give God a big praise for his faithfulness in your life. Come on, let's give him a big praise. Come on, let's give him a big praise. Come on, let's give him a big praise. So far, so far, so far, so far, the Lord has helped me. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We sang an old hymn during worship, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And somebody fiddled with the words to verse 2, so the words we sing now are not the way it was originally written. I want Pastor Nick to sing the real words to verse 2 of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And then we're going to sing together. Come on, listen while he sings it to you.
Here I raise my Ebenezer, and hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, and he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh Jesus, my shepherd,
give the Lord a big praise in this place. So far, 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 so far. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands all over this place. I feel that there's someone here this morning, and you said this weekend, you said, I can't do this anymore. I can't go any further. I can't do this anymore. I'm done. And the Holy Spirit says to you, this far, the Lord has helped you. You can do this. God's giving you strength. You can do this. He said, I'm finished. I'm done for. I can't go any further. Holy Spirit says, this far, the Lord has helped you. And He's bringing you all the way home. Let your heart be lifted up. Lift up your hands all over this place. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that faith would fall in the heart of every man and every woman in this place. I pray that the encouragement of God would fill every heart to overflowing. Father, I pray that strength, Lord, would come to the weary and to the weak, Lord God, those who are tired of battling, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you right now for a healing grace, Lord, falling in this place, Lord God. Somebody said, this might be my last Christmas. The Lord says, so far, the Lord has helped you, and He's going to help you all the way. Jesus. Come on, just worship the Lord right now. Come on, just begin to minister to the Lord right now in this place. Come on, church, just begin to minister. So far, I've made it this far. It hasn't been easy, but I've come this far. It hasn't always been good, but He's been with me. I've made it this far. Thank you, Jesus. Let faith arise in this place. Jesus, the Holy Spirit's just ministering right now. Come on, just receive from Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. So far, the Lord has helped us. Take the hand of someone next to you, if you would, please. We're going to dismiss our service with prayer. And as soon as we do, if you're here and you want to receive personal prayer, our friends, I want to ask our prayer teams just to get down here as quickly as you can as soon as we dismiss.